Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Grant Cohn Show. Hey, what's up? Welcome to the Grant Cohn Show. I'm Grant Cohn. That was a really good cold open. I'm here in the Sharp Lounge at Levi's Stadium in a different spot. We're going to talk about where Brandon Ayuk is. We're going to talk about if Jacob Cowing is making him expendable. But first, I want to talk about where I am because it's about me. It's my show. You notice I'm not in my normal spot. My normal spot is over there. It's where Maddie's sitting there. He was sitting there yesterday. He's now sitting there again, 2 days in a row. I am now in this other spot. It's not as good of a spot. The light's a little messed up. I got Malik Collins and Javon Hargrave getting massages over there. Clearly don't want to film that. None of my business, none of your business, none of our business. But here's where I am. You know, it's been a tough year for me trying to find a spot to stream after practice. There's a new stadium manager, Jim Mercurio, out, someone else in, and now all of a sudden they're cracking down. And so as you saw about a few weeks ago, I was streaming from an undisclosed location in the stadium, and I someone from the PR staff approached during the stream and was very upset and said, "Why'd you do this? Why did you do this? And I was, "Well, I thought I saw Maddie streaming here one time." And you know, they said, "Well, you can't. You're not Maddie. You got to talk to us." So we had to negotiate a whole place and find a place. And it was that nook over there, or so I thought. Been streaming there happily the last 2 weeks. I want to say you've all seen me there. It's a great place. You can see it's got a lot of depth and light, which is nice. And Maddie saw me there because he's been over here by the footballs. So you see him with the backdrop, and he was sort of, I must have been eyeing me, thinking, "Well, that's a nice spot." And this week, he just took it 2 days in a row. So, you know, game recognized game. I can't get mad, but what I can do is take it back. So best believe I'm taking that spot back. You think I'm capitulating to Matt Maiocco? No way. Absolutely not. So my game plan, you just have to make an adjustment. My game plan, get here first thing in the morning and put my stuff there with a sign that says Grant Cohn. I think that'll work. What do you think? Like, he just beat me to the spot. I almost have to be like, caught me slipping. You know what I mean? Like, if, oh, you want that spot because I made it a spot. I made it a hotline. You're trying to make it a hot song. No, absolutely not. First thing in the morning, dropping my stuff off. So that's how it's going down. It's a dirty game out here. You know what I'm saying? People see you do something good. Boom. I want it. I mean, you guys know how it goes. People be biting my whole flow. So that's what I wanted to talk about. First of all, why I'm in the corner. I feel a little bit like Milton from Office Space. Like I'm just about to snap. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to burn down the building. I wouldn't do that. Although there was a fire at Levi's Stadium during the game and I was there. I'm not saying, it seemed like I had an alibi at the time. I was on stream, but I'm just saying, like, if they mess with my stapler three or four more times, I'm going to lose it. Taking back my spot. They're not going to put me in storage room B. Sometimes it feels like the Niners would like me to stream from storage room B, not A. And I don't know why. I bring so much engagement to their platform. Okay, let's talk about Brandon Ayuk. He's there. He's not. The Brandon Ayuk, it's like Carmen Sandiego. Did you guys watch that show in the early 90s? Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? And you were either like a gumshoe or a super sleuth. I'm a super sleuth. I've figured out where in the world Brandon Ayuk is. I actually don't know. But here's, I think I figured out what's going on in the saga. Was it a couple weeks ago? There was reports like, hey, forget the trade to the Steelers. The Niners have actually kind of caved. And they're going to give Ayuk hella money. And they really, really didn't want to do it. But Ayuk forced their hand, and it looks like they're going to get this. I no longer think he's getting traded. That's what a lot of the newsbreakers said, right? It was really close. But then it was reported that Ayuk just didn't like the last year of the deal, and he needed an adjustment on that. And then it was reported that he had a meeting on Monday. That's 2 days ago. Before the meeting last week, Ayuk was at the practices every day. And I don't know what that means. I interpret at the practice meeting as like, hey, I think we're almost done. I'm optimistic. I want to be here. I want to be around my teammates. I want to be on the team. We're this close. That's Ayuk expressing like, let's get over the finish line. I think it's going to happen soon. That's what I would anticipate. And then they have a meeting on Monday, and Ayuk probably goes into it thinking, okay, I'm going to get that adjustment on my final year, and they're going to finally cave to all of my commands, and I'm going to be the best, and I'm going to gloat about this the rest of my life, how I made the Niners give me everything I wanted. And he walks into that meeting, and they're like, hey, Brandon, we've made our final offer. Take it or leave it, and if you don't start practicing soon, we're going to fine you. That's possible. They said that, and then he was like, what? And left. And didn't go to practice the last 2 days because he wanted to show them that he's really sad. Feelings are hurt, right? I don't know. That's the way I interpret it. I think the 49ers... Do the Niners really want to re-sign Brandon Ayuk? That's the question I have. Do they really want it? Or do they want to make it seem like they tried really hard? And that Brandon was a jerk, and he... Like, they bent over backwards. They made an offer that was more than fair. He was just greedy, so they had to trade him at the last minute. Is that kind of... Because it seemed like they were... they agreed to trade him to Cleveland. They agreed to trade him to New England. Ayuk nixed the deal. It seemed like they agreed to trade him to Pittsburgh. And then all of a sudden, they got a bunch of negative feedback from their fans. Like, if you do this, we'll freaking riot. And they're like, well, I don't want to get fired. So maybe we'll work for the next 2 weeks. And I mean, we know exactly what Pittsburgh offered, right? They know exactly what Pittsburgh's offered. So they can offer something that's just a little bit worse and make it seem like we really wanted Ayuk, man. We tried to give him this 4-year contract and he didn't want it. It's like, or you gave him an offer he knew he'd say no to. Right? Like, why would Ayuk take a dime less from you? Does it seem like he is that juiced to be here? Players just walking back and forth, getting massaged. This is a terrible spot. But you know what? I'm going to make it work because I won't be deterred. I won't let Maddie beat me. That's what he wanted. I could see it in his eyes, see it in his expression. Brandon Ayuk. I don't think he's going to sign this extension. That both sides think the other side's bluffing and it's going to come down to what, the night before the season opener. Ayuk's thinking, they're going to need me out there week one. I'm getting another offer. I mean, they're going to hold firm now. They're going to tell me they're not. That's the final offer now. But just like Nick Bosa got another offer with 4 days left. See, that's what the Niners' problem. They create this precedent that they'll cave at the very last minute. So players kind of just have to wait just in case, just to see what the Niners are going to do. They caved 4 days before the season started last year with Bosa. So really, I mean, from Ayuk's perspective, he kind of owes it to himself from a business perspective to wait until 4 days left just to see if the Niners will do it again. It's like, oh, you said you won't do it on August 21st? Well, what about on September 5th? Like, Ayuk could sign this extension from the Niners on September 5th. They're not going to pull it. They're not that vindictive, are they? He could wait and just say, all right, well, I was, you know, you caved last year with 4 days left. Maybe you'll cave this year. You didn't? Okay, well, Now I'll make my decision. I think that's where this is happening. Something's going to happen right before the season starts, either an extension or a trade. He could get traded to the Steelers like with 2 days before the season starts, or he could get extended with 2 days before the season. That's how, isn't that your best guess? Anytime there's an update from one of these, what is it? Jordan Schultz was yesterday saying things are getting close. Like, no, they're not. Shut up. No, they're not. It'll get done right at the deadline. Because the Niners think that Ayuk doesn't really want to sacrifice game checks. And Ayuk thinks that the Niners don't really want to play week one without him. So I think that's probably how it's going to go down. I'm getting self-conscious because players are like walking back and forth. And they're all the best. Niners are great. Going to be undefeated this year. I think Isaac Yiadom's going to have a Pro Bowl season. Tre'Davious Ward, all pro. Everyone at practice today was good. Let's take the day off tomorrow and the next day. Let's talk Jacob Cowing. Hold on. So as you guys know, I was team trade Ayuk before the draft. I felt like good player. Probably shouldn't be spending $28 to $30 million on a wide receiver who's high level number two, especially when they're going to be spending $50 to $60 million a year on a quarterback. So I would have traded him months ago. They're exploring the idea of trading him now, and they want a wide receiver back in return, and we keep hearing about like possession receivers like Kendrick Bourne. I don't know. If they're going to replace Brandon Ayuk in the offense, it's got to be with someone who's a vertical threat. Because even though Ayuk runs a 4-5, he's not a true burner. He is their downfield option. You could take him off the offense and redistribute his targets among the players they already have, but without a deep threat, the offense isn't going to be as efficient. So cut to Jacob Cowing. This young rookie wide receiver is emerging, and he's really producing. Produced in preseason. He produced today in camp. He's playing with the ones. He's the fastest player on the field. He's running reverses and catching slants, but also running double moves and deep crossing routes. And it's looking like he can catch passes at all three levels, short, intermediate, deep, over the middle, outside the numbers. I'm not saying he's going to catch 50 passes this year, but if he were the 49ers, let's say the Niners trade Ayuk in 2 weeks to the Steelers for draft picks. That's all they get. They could try to trade for a wide receiver at the deadline or whatever. Maybe they want to trade for a defensive end. Who knows? But if they have Debo, Juwan Jennings, and Jacob Cowing, plus Kittle and McCaffrey, is that not enough? I mean, Cowing is faster than Ayuk. He's not better than Ayuk. But as a deep threat, he's more of a deep threat. And Brock Purdy missed him. I mean, who did he miss today? He missed Debo today, but I think he has a good deep ball. I think he would be able to take advantage of Jacob Cowing enough. Kind of reminds me of Taylor Gabriel, who was pretty productive with Matt Ryan and Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. I wonder, I mean, it's only really been a week, but if things drag on with Ayuk and he's stubborn and the Niners are stubborn and they can't meet in the middle, maybe the emergence of Cowing is enough to get the deal done with Pittsburgh, because frankly, they drafted Ricky Pearsall to give themselves the option to trade Ayuk if they wanted to. And Pearsall hasn't worked out, but it seems like Cowing gives him everything Pearsall was supposed to give him and more. Like, even if Pearsall were healthy, he's bigger than Cowing, but he's not more explosive than Cowing. He's not faster than Cowing. He seems like if they were to be starting alongside each other, Pearsall and Cowing, that Pearsall would be the possession receiver, and Cowing would be the explosive gadget guy who could do a little bit of everything. So I don't know. I think that's kind of an interesting wrinkle here. The Jacob Cowing effect. Is he actually going to make an impact this year? I mean, why not? It seems like he's... Like, Juwan Jennings is hurt right now. Juwan Jennings is really good. We like Juwan Jennings. Good blocker. Had a good Super Bowl, but he had 19 catches last year. He's the slowest wide receiver in football. He runs like two routes. He's a good route runner, but he runs like ins and outs. Right? What else does he run? Can he really be a number two receiver, or is he sort of like a third and sixth specialist? It seems like Cowan can do so much more. And it's like all Kyle Shanahan has to do is get over his fear of rookies. Like, what's cool about this particular team is how many good rookies there are. Like, you could argue it's like the weakest of the 49ers teams they've had the last 5 years in terms of depth. But this rookie class could save it. They've had so many bad drafts the last couple of years. I think it's hurting their depth. They have three defensive ends, and two of them were signed this year. Robert Beal's doing nothing. But this draft class, all of a sudden, if Kyle trusts rookies to play, they could make all the difference for this team in their pursuit of a sixth Lombardi trophy. Hold on. Let me get something up real quick. Boom. Yes. Let's do some sleeper picks while people join the show. Let's see what's it. This guy, we got a free, with a pick on sale. Who's this guy? I don't know, but I'm taking it because it's a pick on sale. Now let's do football. Green Bay. Jordan Love. 259.5 passing yards against the Eagles. Yeah, I think he's going to do it. I don't think the Eagles' defense is that good, even though they got Vic Fangio. Jalen Hurts, 243.5 passing yards against the Packers. I'm going to say less. I feel like Jalen Hurts really suffers from the loss of Shane Steichen, who's a hell of a coach now with the Colts. Josh Jacobs, 64.5 rushing yards against Philly. I'm going to say less. I feel like they're going to be throwing in that game. I base that on nothing. Saquon Barkley, 77.5 rushing yards against Green Bay. I'm going to say more. That's a team that's going to be running the ball a lot. That's my entry. And I can't make any picks because I don't have any money because I haven't won recently. But if I were to make the picks, those would be the picks I would make. If you want to make some picks, download the app, use promo code CONE, C-O-H-N, and get a deposit match on your first deposit, 100% up to $100. And I'm going to be doing a giveaway soon. Another jersey, if you want to win it, you're going to have to download the app. Just throwing that out there. Okay. I talked about this yesterday a little bit with my dad. Look at what the Niners are going through right now with Brandon Ayuk. They built him up for years. They argued that he was better than Puka Nacua, and he was better than Amon-Ra St. Brown, and they really built him up as like the most underrated player in football. And then when it came time to pay him, all those arguments kind of worked against him because the wide receiver market blew up and all these people that they said he's better than got paid a lot of money that they don't want to pay him. So I think it's the Niners may have learned from that. Like, it's important to keep these players in check, especially wide receivers and quarterbacks. Because if you don't, you start giving some people who had one good year top of the market money. So as they're working really hard to haggle with Brandon Ayuk, don't you think they have one eye to the future with Brock Purdy? Don't you think they understand how much money Tua Tagovailoa just got and that Brock's going to want more than $55 million a year? So, look, Kyle Shanahan's smart. He's not just coaching the team. He has an eye on the future. He talks about it. The Yorks also like to save a million here, a million there. Ask Brandon Ayuk. Do you think this is going to be a little side quest of Kyle Shanahan's this year to not necessarily sabotage? I'm not saying he would ever sabotage his own player, but to sort of give people a glimpse of the way he sees Brock, or I'm not even going to use the word expose, but I felt like that game a few days ago was sort of an example of what it could look like. You know, you've read the report said he's not having the best camp. Well, watch his first action in the preseason. Watch for yourself. And it's like, well, he had, you know, three starters on his offensive line. He had a couple backups out there. There's really no excuse. But You take away all the weapons and Kyle Shanahan calling plays, kind of hang him out to dry. Seems like you're kind of making the point without saying anything like, hey, you know, he's heavily dependent on the players and the coaching staff. He's very good, but he's not carrying things. You know, he's not Patrick Mahomes or anything like that. He's a very good quarterback who needs the structure of the team.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And that's still a guy who's worth $45 million a year. But is it a guy who's worth $60 million a year? I don't know. Something to watch this year. The way Kyle Shanahan treats Brock, the way Kyle Shanahan talks about him. Because I think it's in the organization's interest to save $5, $10, $15 million a year with Brock. And how do you do that? I don't know how you do that. That's not what I do. It's not my expertise. But it's something to watch for. It's something that popped in my head when Saturday night happened. So irregular. And it's something that like 99% of coaches wouldn't do because they're afraid of losing their job and being held responsible for a quarterback getting injured. Kyle's not afraid of losing his job, so he can do whatever he wants. So that's great. But from like not drafting an offensive tackle to not getting Trent Williams back into camp as soon as possible. I mean, Kyle's just very reckless with his quarterbacks. We've seen it a lot. He was reckless with RG3. He was reckless with Trey Lance. He was reckless with Brock. He was reckless with Jimmy. But remember in the NFC Championship game where he asked that third string tight end who was inactive the week before to block Hassan Reddick on like a really slow developing play action pass? That was reckless. Kyle Shanahan doesn't seem like the kind of guy who stays up late at night trying to worrying about how he can protect his quarterback. So, I don't know. If they lose games, who's Kyle point the finger at? If they struggle early in the season and have a slow start, which, I mean, as a team that's really good and it's getting older, played a lot of games that can turn it on later in the season, I wouldn't be super surprised if they lost some games early on that they shouldn't, like they had in the past, 2021, 2022. If that happens, whose fault is it? So I don't know. Curious where Kyle's coming from on this. But at the same time, like, sometimes I question his motives, but like, I agree with him. I wouldn't give Brock Purdy $60 million a year if that's how he feels. I agree with him. I would feel like the contract that the Falcons just gave Kirk Cousins. 4 years, $45 million a year. I think that's fair for Brock. I think that's the very good quarterback contract. And, you know, the franchise quarterback contracts are more like $55 million a year. Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, Jared Goff, Tua. And Purdy can argue that he's in their class, but he's not. I mean, he is, but those contracts are insane. The Kirk Cousins contract is reasonable. So if Purdy wants an insane contract, trade him. How about that? Tanner Mordecai's better anyway. How about that? Just kidding. Or am I? I am. I think. Tanner Mordecai made a nice play today. Okay, let's talk about Brock. I'm beginning to wonder about Brock's. Is Brock a little too comfortable? You know, he's had quite a couple of years. He comes in, what was he, fourth string? He had to beat out Nate Sudfeld. Like, all he had to do was say yes, sir, no, sir, and execute. Then he takes over the job, does a great job, comes in next year, and he still has to rehab an elbow injury. And he has to hold off Trey Lance and Sam Darnold. Darnold in particular was a big favorite of the coaching staff. So he still had to keep his head down and please the coach. Sort of do what he's told. Now year three, he's coming off a Super Bowl appearance and an MVP caliber season. And Darnold's gone. And the backup quarterbacks are so not a threat. It's not like Purdy's ever going to get benched for Josh Dobbs or Brandon Allen. And it's not like if Purdy were to get hurt and miss a month, he'd get Wally pipped. He'd get his job taken by those two guys. So what we've seen from him is him like trying stuff a lot this offseason. Oh, yeah, I threw another pick today, but I was just trying stuff. It's like, yeah, but are you trying things or are you sort of developing bad habits and being reckless because there's no one to really push you? There's no one that makes you look over your shoulder anymore the way that Trey did initially, Jimmy did initially, Darnold did initially. I wonder, something to watch. Like, is this guy going to play hero ball this year and try to make big highlight plays so he can argue that he's truly worth all this money? You could argue that he's been doing that already. And if he does, you know that's going to annoy the hell out of Kyle. And me. And you. So, I don't know. Is Brock making bad decisions? I feel like he's making worse decisions than he did in the past. The type of decisions where he's like, I need to prove that I'm special. I need to prove that I'm elite. If you were to ask Kyle Shanahan on the record in a press conference, Kyle, do you consider Brock Purdy elite? What do you think Kyle would say? How do you think he would answer that question on the spot? I bet you wouldn't say yes. I bet you he'd find a way to not answer the question. Because he's not elite. That's the right answer. He's just not. Okay, last thing. It's really hard to overstate how good this rookie class seems. Let's go through it player by player. Ricky Pearsall hurt. Not writing him off yet, though, because there's been some other injured rookies who've come back and been really good. So Ricky Pearsall, too soon to tell. Renardo Green, looking like he's taken that number three cornerback job. It was Isaac Yiadom's early on, but now it looks like Green is handling it. And if it's close between a young guy and a vet, to me, you go with the young guy. Because that guy's going to have that job eventually, and you want him getting as much experience as possible early in the season. So what I thought was interesting is I thought they would put him in the slot if he was the number three corner and keep Lenore outside. But today, in the nickel defense, Lenore in the slot, Green on the outside with Ward on the other side. That was pretty interesting. So they gave him reps at nickel. They taught him the position, but it seems like he's clearly better on the outside. And it's what he did in college. It's what he's built to do. I mean, it's cool that they tried him out somewhere else, but I wonder if he'd be even more, further along if they just kept him at one place on the outside. But not to nitpick too much, seems like he's doing really well, and that the Niners secondary is going to be really freaking good. Not sure what they got at strong safety, but the three corners and their free safety, like one of the better secondaries in the league. Then Dominic Pooney looks like already their second best offensive lineman after Trent Williams. I mean, he looks better than Aaron Banks. Looks better than Jake Brendel. He looks clearly better than Colton Kibitz. That looks like one hell of a draft pick. I mean, Pooney looks so good. I'd almost want to know why he couldn't play right tackle. But I think what's interesting is I almost wonder if the Niners value right guard more than they value right tackle anyway. Because I think what Pooney said is that, like, the blocks in the run game are harder for the guard than for the tackle. And it's harder in pass protection for the offensive tackle, but the Niners don't even value pass protection. It's not like McKivitz is good at it. Would Pooney really be worse in pass protection to tackle? But I feel like if you're going to value run blocking so much more than you value pass blocking, maybe you want the better guy guard. I don't know. Anyway, he's really good. Then after him, Malik Mustafa plays fast, hits hard. Not sure if he's ready to play yet. He might be a guy who could get picked on by really good quarterbacks, or I don't know if he would overrun plays or miss tackles, but he seems promising for the future at least, and maybe he'll play early on in the season. Then you got Isaac Garendo, who did nothing all offseason, got hurt. First day of training camp, now practiced the last 2 days. Really eager to see him against the Raiders because he looked really fast the last 2 days and explosive. Now, maybe the Niners defense was gassed and there were a bunch of holes. I don't know. But it looked like Garendo was finding them. It looked like his vision's improved. And man, he's really freaking fast for a guy who's 225 pounds. So he's intriguing. And then after him, Jacob Cowing might be like the best one right now. I mean, right now it's looking like between maybe Pooney 1, Cowing 2, Green 3. I mean, all of a sudden, every quarterback's throwing to Cowing. He's playing with the ones, the twos. He's playing inside, outside. He's catching slants and digs and out and ups and deep crossers and running reverses and catching screens. I mean, he's doing a little bit of everything. Looks like he's, like, his speed translates, and it looks like he's tough. So looks like a guy who could contribute right away and make the Niners offense a lot faster. Jarrett Kingston looks like, I mean, I wonder if Aaron Banks misses week one, would they be better off with Kingston at left guard as opposed to Nick Zakel? Cause Nick Zakel looks like I don't know if he's over there. He looks like a liability. I'm sorry. It's not a personal attack. And then Tatum Bethune looks like a linebacker who has a future. The Niners develop linebackers slowly. They don't develop quarterbacks slowly. They develop linebackers slowly. So I wouldn't expect Bethune to leapfrog Jalen Graham or D. Winters, who have both been invited to the podium. That's when you know the Niners think something of a player. Jalen Graham was invited today. D. Winters a couple weeks ago. Tatum Bethune, not yet. Let's see. Are the Niners rookies? Which ones have been invited to the podium? Pooney. That's it. Pearsall hasn't been around. Green, not yet. Mustafa, not yet. Garendo, not yet. Cowing, not yet. Yeah, Pooney. That's how you know Pooney's the one. A legit starter, good player, got conference privileges yesterday. But I think Jacob Cowing, Renardo Green, I feel like Renardo Green needs to be the next one because he's looking like he's going to be in the nickel defense. That's 70% of the snaps. We need to talk to Renardo. Renardo, how'd you get so good at football? Follow up. You're awesome. One more question. I love the way you play football. Thank you. Same for Jacob Cowan. And then what if Ricky Pearsall comes back and is actually good? Because the way the whole draft class is looking, it's, I don't know. If he could just stay healthy, I don't know if that's going to happen. But when he did play that 1 week or two, he looked good-ish. He looked bad. He made some catches. I don't know. But I feel like this draft class is going to rejuvenate the 49ers window because, I mean, is Ayuk going to be on this team after this year? Is Debo going to be on this team after this year? Like, eventually they got to stop. If you're going to pay Brock all this money, you can't have the highest paid fullback and the highest paid running back and the highest paid tight end and two of the highest paid wide receivers. You kind of have to actually spend on an offensive line to protect your quarterback and draft weapons and play young guys and trust that the coach and the quarterback can get them up to speed. And it seems like they got guys like that right now. Cowing looks completely NFL ready. And I say this as a person who's never been a scout, but quality control for myself, pro bono for the team. Cowing looks good. Yeah. And then the undrafted guys. Cody Schrader hasn't done much in preseason yet, but that's not the biggest indicator. It's not like he's gotten a ton of rushing lanes. He's been good in practice. They like him. He's got a future here. He'll probably be in the practice squad at first, but I bet you he gets called up eventually. And then Tanner Mordecai, who frankly looked about as good as Brock Purdy did in his first preseason game 2 years ago. So I'm not saying he's next Brock Purdy, but I'm not saying he's not. He's intriguing. And if he plays well on Friday against the Raiders, I think he should make 53-man roster. Yeah, I said it. So, Adam Peters went to Washington. Guess they didn't need him. Who made all these draft picks, huh? Who is the guy making the picks? Is it John Lynch? Is it Kyle? I don't know. It's a tough one. I don't really know the answer to it. But this draft, Dominic Pooney in particular, I feel like he's a game changer for this offense because the right side of the pocket has been collapsing since Kyle Shanahan's got here. They have never had a good right guard. It's always been some like glorified center or someone who's just kind of small who can't even anchor against a bull rush. Mike Person, Zane Beatles, Spencer Burford, John Feliciano, like guys who wouldn't start on most teams. That's the Niners right guard. Now it's like, man, is this guy like a future Pro Bowler? Is he better than Banks? I don't know how good he's going to be as a run blocker right away because he talked about it. He said the run blocking is a more difficult transition for him than the pass blocking. He hasn't played right guard before. He was a left tackle last year. Played left guard also a couple years before that. But in pass protection, I feel like he anchors really well. And theoretically, that should make Brock Purdy way better because when Brock Purdy's under pressure, what does he do? Does he step up or does he spin out? He usually spins out. Why is that? Because he has no right guard. Because the center and the right guard aren't that good and the pocket's collapsing and he needs to get the hell out of there. Now, if Pooney holds his ground, Banks holds his ground, McKivitz can just not get beat that bad. He can just push the edge rusher past the quarterback. Purdy can like step up in the pocket like a real pocket quarterback. That would make him better. We haven't really seen that Purdy yet. The Niners haven't given him the opportunity to be the step up in the pocket guy. He has to be the run around left and right guy, which is fun. We all like that guy. But he almost got in trouble being that guy against the Saints the other day. It's too bad they don't have a better center. Jake Brendel's great. It's too bad they don't have a better center. I don't know if Jake's over there, but I feel like they should get a better center. He went to UCLA. I went to UCLA. I respect that. But, like, come on, man. If they just had, like, a really good left guard, center, and right guard, I think that'd be all Purdy needed. You know? Sorry. Okay. As I was saying, Jake Brendel, great player, all pro. Give him an extension. Hey. Has any Brandon Ayuk news dropped in the last 20 minutes since I started this? Am I missing anything? Any updates? Oh, the two sides are optimistic that something's going to happen. Sorry about the whispering. I probably freaked you out. Well, look, guys, you know, I think that's it for today. There's not this. We got a game on Friday, so no practice tomorrow. Then they're going to have a few more practices next week that'll be open to the media, and then they're going to shut it down, and then they're going to have to play an actual game. What do you think's going to happen first? A resolution with Trent or a resolution with Brandon? Hold on. People saying the reporters don't know anything about Brandon. No one knows anything about Brandon. It's not like Schefter knows anything about it. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to drive home. Not taking the train today because it's a little bit later. I could have taken the train, though. When that was one that leaves in 19 minutes. I would have liked to be on that. It's a nice train. Anyway, thanks for watching. Sorry I can't tell you where Brandon Ayuk is, but I'm going to keep looking because I'm a super sleuth. And I used to watch Carmen Sandiego.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.